party people! Yeah! Tag team music in full effect. That's me, DC, the Brain Supreme, and my man Steve Roland. We're kicking the flow.
We're kicking the flow.
And it goes a little something like this. Tag team.
Welcome back in. It is the Saturday show, the Salt City Hoops Saturday show right here on the Zone Sports Network, home of the Utah Jazz. And yes, I'm still here in the break, but that's probably because Scott Gerard couldn't make it from wherever he is before the break ended in order to fire me.
But we had enough time in that break to get your resume looking fantastic.
Sparkling. Yeah. I feel a little bit like I may have gone a little bit over the top. I just want the audience to know, I want you guys to know that I care. I'm here for you.
Loud and clear, buddy.
I might be fired,
but someone's got to voice the concerns and the frustrations. And I think anytime you get to just yell and purge yourself of your feelings, then you take a 3 or 4 minute moment of clarity and go, okay, I knew this was going to happen this year. I knew that this was the plan. I knew this was the team we were going to have. Now I just need to get back into, okay, lower my expectations and look at individual performances rather than the team as a whole.
Isn't it amazing, though, how spoiled we've been as Jazz fans? You think about
Absolutely.
The 20 years of success. You look at a lot of teams, even like the Knicks. The Knicks haven't had a ton of great years. I mean, they've had some kind of middling ones. But for all the talk about the Jazz always being kind of also-ran, you know, the Knicks haven't exactly been world beaters for the last 30 years. So a lot of franchises in the league, it's tough to be the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, really, besides the Spurs and the Lakers.
Yeah, it's real tough to be them. I'd hate to have that life. No, I know what you're saying.
No, you know, I mean, it's difficult to become them. To become them is what I'm saying.
Do you think it's easy to win championship after championship? No, it's hard. Yeah, so
This is what we've discovered on the Salt City Hoops Saturday show.
It's hard to win championships.
Yeah.
So I don't really...
We get it.
So let me ask you.
So what else can we talk about?
No, I kind of want to go on and say, okay, so if Ty Corbin's not the coach of the present, in Austin Horton's opinion, then, you know, do the Jazz make a move this season, and who could they get this season, or who could they get next season? Who, you know, what coach would make a difference with this core next season?
I can't imagine. I'm going to say right now, I get where Austin's coming from, but I just can't see them making a move before the end of the season.
Sure.
If
I had to put my money on, I wouldn't either. Yeah, I don't
really see the upside, quite frankly. I mean, even if they continue to lose like this, that would be good for the Jazz in a lot of ways. If they continue to win like this, then you know maybe the development of the young players actually happens.
In all honesty, it would take Tyrone Corbin like getting in the face of Dennis Lindsay or of someone and saying, you know,
there would have to be a confrontation.
Forget you, I'm doing it my way. Fire me or let me coach. There would have to be a confrontation, and there's not going to be. So he's going to be the coach at least through the end of the year.
But let's say this. Let's imagine this scenario. He's probably not going to be back next year. The question is, do the Jazz go after – there are kind of two styles of coaches in the league. There's the retread, the famous, you know, the
– Stan Van Gundy, for example.
Exactly. And then there are the young, kind of stats-friendly, the Spolstras, you know, those kinds of things. Like you see it in Boston and elsewhere, guys who are kind of embracing the new generation. Maybe they haven't played the game, but they're basketball junkies, they're film guys. They put people in positions to win. I'm curious if what kind of a coach the Jazz will go after. What do you see, Austin? What do you see in the future on the sideline for the Jazz?
It's going to be an analytic guy. As long as Dennis Lindsay and Justin Zanuck are in the front office as the GM and assistant GM, it's going to be an analytics guy because that's what they want to build around. That's what they believe in. So I don't think it's going to be a retread. I think it'll be someone that you may have heard of here and there, but he hasn't had necessarily NBA head coaching success or experience.
So first-time head coach, and do you think he comes from like the college ranks, or do you think he's a former assistant?
I think it'll most likely be a guy from the college ranks who's been there for a little bit, but you know has kind of established himself.
I don't see that at all.
I see an up-and-coming analytics assistant.
Like an assistant somewhere?
Absolutely.
That could be too. But the youth on this team, I think a college guy like a Brad Stevens type would be perfect.
So Mike Longobardi is the assistant coach, Hornacek's assistant coach in Phoenix that's been named kind of peripherally with this job and some jobs next year because he's kind of developed this
named
Phoenix
by us
defense.
Yackers who don't
yeah,
make
exactly,
any of
right?
the
like nobody's
yeah.
actually
I like that we throw the rumor out and then we confirm
and then
the
yes Salt City Hoops
I don't know
can't
the rumor is out there
last
yeah.
week yeah okay but Mike Longobardi is kind of the guy who would make a lot of sense defensively. I've been looking at some coaches and I honestly like Scott Skiles. He's
wow.
a retread name that you've heard before
wow.
but look at how Milwaukee
yeah, he
was
great in Milwaukee.
He was so yeah, five seasons with Milwaukee. Yeah, okay. Five
wow,
seasons
wow.
with Milwaukee, but in the 07-08 season, they were 30th in the league defensively, just like the Jazz are this year. In 08-09, the next season, 15th in the league defensively, and then the next season after that, the 09-10, second. 30th, 15th, second. If
wow.
you want to develop a defensive mindset, a defensive culture, you hire Scott Skiles to coach your team.
Interesting.
He did the same thing with the Bulls and back whenever that was. I think that would be a coach that if the Jazz really believe in this defense first thing, Scott Skiles makes a lot of sense.
Another wow. name out there is Lawrence Frank, who was, you know, more
yeah.
or less fired in New Jersey
hey,
or
he's
Brooklyn
still doing
or whatever
reports.
They are. Yeah, but he's
Jason Kidd reads them.
He's a guy that doesn't take any notes. No, he doesn't. I don't know if Jason Kidd reads, but, you know, just saying. So they're just these names. So you guys don't see any college guy coming in and
no.
becoming an NBA coach here in
Utah. I can't imagine who, though.
I don't
Frank
either.
Vogel?
From,
yeah,
well, he's not going to leave the Pacers for the
no,
Jazz.
No, no, no. I'm sorry. I didn't mean Frank Vogel. I mean Frank
Martin?
Yeah, Frank
oh,
Martin.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Yeah, that's what we need.
Why not?
He might as well come host the show with me. That's, that, I mean, me and him together.
I love the idea,
just
though.
Like,
I love the idea. Just bring in an absolute, you know, just army general, you know?
You miss yeah. a free throw, you get
and
whipped.
And Skiles is that kind of guy. Like, he's such an army general that in general, like,
and he played the game.
And, yeah, he played the game, so
what's Bob
that's
Knight
nice.
Doing?
His teams have actually started to tune him out. Like, there's some
yes.
idea that you can't have him be coach of your team for more than three or four seasons because he does yell so much.
Right.
He does start to get guys, you know, they start to turn him off.
I wonder, though, if there's been a generational shift where that kind of approach just doesn't work anymore.
Maybe.
I mean, guys are coming up through an era where they're not used to getting yelled at. They're not. I mean, you look at everything from an HR kind of modern day millennial kind of standpoint. People just are more likely to retreat into themselves than respond to that kind of abuse.
Well, yeah. I mean, put it, if you're at a 9-to-5 job where you're in a cubicle every day and you're not meeting your sales quota or whatever, what works better? Your sales manager coming in and berating you? Or your sales manager coming in and saying, okay, how can I help you become better?
Yeah.
Where are your
like
issues? 20,
is it the 20, second 30 approach to Ty Corbin approach?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. And it should be. At the professional level, these guys shouldn't need to be yelled at. These guys shouldn't need to be pushed and scared and the fear factor and all that. But at the same time, these guys aren't established veterans. These guys are 2 or 3 years out of college.
So you were advocating for the first one. You were advocating
right now,
for the yelling.
When you're a young guy and you're trying to learn the ropes of the profession of being an NBA player, you need someone who's like, look, you're not all that in a bag of chips. You're not dinner twice, or, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner and dessert twice a week like that commercial I've been hearing says. You need to establish yourself before you can walk around and pretend like you're all that.
And as a side note, I think the Jazz think that they need a kind of a more nasty kind of player as well. That's what I've heard
yeah.
in some conversations with people, that like if you had someone to kind of lead the charge in terms of being able to fight against teams and, you know,
and not physically
fight.
Fighting, but
right,
we
right.
need, I mean, we saw it with the honors that are
well,
the,
why not physically fighting?
Well, that's fine.
Because last night with
too.
Carmelo,
yeah,
Enes Kanter, you're a big, strong guy who's younger than Carmelo hit and run Anthony.
Hey, that's
so it's tax deductible.
Oh,
you get it all back 100%.
It goes to charity.
Yeah.
It goes to charity.
And all you have to do, I'm not saying haul off and throw a haymaker
well,
to the guy, but maybe get in his face and be like, dude, what do you think you're doing?
Well, all the Allen Iverson, you know, with his retirement or the kind of the honoring ceremony they did in Philadelphia, I was thinking back on the Allen Iverson era. I personally loved watching that guy play because, you know, a lot of people didn't like his style and thing, but the one thing he had, he was gonna give everything he had every single minute, and it was contagious. Everybody on his team, I mean, at the fact that at his size he was the most intimidating player on
yeah.
any court he ever stepped on
right.
was incredible. I mean, just that level of like tenacity. I think a lot of teams, a lot of fans will put up with a lot of losing if they see that kind of effort. And that's the thing we haven't seen this year. I said at the beginning of the year, all I wanted to do was be entertained, and they haven't. I mean,
here and there, there's been flashes.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, you see a lot of games where guys just aren't getting after it, and that's just not fun to watch.
So did I, and you guys answer this question for me, did I fool myself into believing, yeah, okay, this is going to be a down year, but did I not really understand how down it was going to be?
No, I think what you wanted to see, I think fans would have forgiven if they had seen the development. But the fact that on that second D on the development side, that nothing really seemed to happen and, in fact, maybe went the other way, that's where I think the enthusiasm some of us felt, it wasn't there, because we were hoping to have moments where we're like, oh, but he's going to be there. He's our guy going forward.
Yeah.
And I think every time they went out to play, everybody was like, this guy.
Andy, when you look at this roster currently, speaking of that lack on defensive improvement, do you see anyone on this roster that could improve defensively under a new coach? Or is it just that that's the kind of player they are?
No, I really think that, like, you look at how the Jazz were last year, and you look at how Favors and Cantor especially played, and they were, I mean, Favors was a great defensive player, and Cantor was an average defensive player. I'd at least see that potential to get back to where they were just last season. Mm-hmm. I think Hayward could be an above-average player. I totally believe that with a new scheme, we see it with guys like Carlos Boozer with Tom Thibodeau's defense. All of a sudden, they're kind of capable defensive players. Al Jefferson with Steve Clifford. Like, these guys can turn into capable, good, even great defensive players. I just don't know that the scheme is there, or, as we've talked about ad nauseum, the effort.
Yeah, and that's effort. You can't really coach effort. You can get on guys and yell at them and be like, hey, you're not giving me your effort. And then one of two things happens. Either they go, excuse me, I'm doing it my way, get out of my face. Or they go, you're absolutely right, I can try harder. And what we've seen mostly this season is the first scenario.
Do you think, I mean, the one thing with the Rajah Bell 2.0 experiment that went on was kind of a disaster of personality. And I wonder if he's exactly the kind of guy we're talking about, a guy who really cared. Maybe his caring outdid his actual ability,
right?
But he definitely cared, definitely wanted to win. But that brought with it a certain incompatibility of personality. I wonder, from that point on, if you look at all the acquisitions, it seems like the Jazz have made a concerted effort to bring in a model citizen, a guy who's not going to, you know, easy to get along with. I'm sure they have a great time on road trips and at practice and things like that. Just really,
the museum tours are stellar.
Yeah. You're taking great pictures at the White House, and that's great. But
you're talking about Richard Jefferson.
They don't have that.
That's
wild,
who you're talking about.
Well, they don't have that wild card anymore. You know, they don't have the J.R. Smiths. They don't have the guy who you're going to get a lot of baggage, but you're also going to get, you know, that's a bad example. I don't want J.R. Smith anywhere near
but
the Jazz.
But Rajah Bell is perfect, what you're talking about there. A guy who's going to stand up to a coach if he doesn't like what's going on, or he's going to call out a teammate and say, what are you doing? Or he's going to go to the GM and say, look, this is what's going on that I don't like. But then the problem is Bell wasn't performing himself.
Right.
And so you need that. Kind of like the Matt Harpering. I know he's kind of a lightning rod because people either like him or love him
as
an analyst.
But as a player, it was absolutely
no nonsense.
And I don't think it's any accident that he played with Allen Iverson. You know, that they. I mean, he had that before even when he was in college. But exactly, you look at that team and the way that they overachieved, that Jazz team, when they had, you know, Andre Kirilenko at his young finest, Carlos Arroyo, some of these guys who weren't necessarily the best players, but they came together that year and they put it all out there. That's the kind of season that fans can get behind. Yeah. That was one of the more exciting seasons that the Jazz have had in a long time.
Easily.
So the Jazz are back at it again tonight in Philadelphia. Losers of, what, 18 straight, 17
just
straight?
15. Don't okay. oversell it.
Well, yeah. It's,
you're exaggerating,
they may,
Austin.
It's the battle of, I don't know.
Cellar.
The cellar. Yeah, I'll meet you in the cellar at midnight, you know.
Yeah.
It's just whatever. They're playing tonight. Tune in. Hopefully you'll see a better effort than they have given so far. If not, they'll go 0-6 on this Eastern Conference road trip. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to talk about the Utah Jazz and other news and notes around the NBA, and we will put a bow on the Salt City Hoops Saturday show. This is the Zone Sports Network.
Hi, this is Drew Hyatt, Chief Executive Officer for the Utah Youth Soccer Association, which represents more than 50,000 Utah soccer players. At the UYSA, our goal is to provide the very best opportunity for Utah's young soccer players and help them reach their full potential. That's why we partner with the experts at Tosh, the Orthopedic Specialty Hospital, as our official sports medicine and training partner. The thing I love about Tosh isn't just how well they treat our players who have been injured. It's how they work with us proactively to prevent injuries and help educate our coaches and players. The experts from Tosh help us make the game as safe as possible for our players, helping them perform to their full potential. So no matter what kind of athlete you are or what sport you play, Tosh can do the same for you. We'll see you on the pitch.
Call the Tosh Sports Training Program today at 801-314-2996 and discover your elite athlete at Tosh, the Orthopedic Specialty Hospital, proud sports medicine and training provider for the Utah Youth Soccer Association.
Jake Scott and Tony Park.
Jordan Schultz, Huffington Post, with us, 97.5 and 1280 The Zone. Do you think Jimmer's going to get the opportunity, or is there a chance at Sacramento all over again?
I actually do, knowing Tom Thibodeau a little bit. I just feel like they'll find a role for him, and I don't think Jimmer would have signed there to go sit on the bench and just be a spot-up shooter, because that's not what he is. He's more than that. At least I think he is. And you know what? I think one of the big reasons why he went to Chicago was that you look at what Thibodeau has been able to do with small guards, you know, DJ August, being John Lucas, guys that maybe elsewhere weren't utilized properly, and now Jimmer hopefully will have that opportunity. I do think he'll play a role down the stretch for them.
Jake Scott and Tony Parks, weekdays 10 to 1 on 1280 97.5. The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Banks are lending again. It's the loan guy with a great year-end clearance update. 0% for 60 is now 0% for 72 months. Have you had credit problems in the past? Is your credit score low? Are you paying a high interest rate on your car? Are you a first-time buyer? Do you owe too much on your current car? Or are you just ready for a new ride and want to take advantage of the current low interest rates? It's time to lower your car payment and get into a newer car. I've teamed up with Ken Garf Nissan of Orem and several large banks, including Capital One and Nissan Motors, to offer 0% financing for 72 months on new and used cars. The best part? A credit score of 520 and above qualifies you for this program. Why pay interest when you don't have to? Get 0% financing from the loan guy and Ken Garf Nissan of Orem as if your credit was perfect. That's truly a win-win. The total amount I have to lend is limited, so don't wait. If you have a 520 credit score or better and want 0% for 72 months, call 877-LOAN-GUY now. That's 877-LOAN-GUY or chat live at 877-LOAN-GUY.com. OAC, we are Ken Garf. We hear you.
Welcome back into the Salt City Hoops Saturday Show. We've got about 10 minutes left to reminisce on the Salt City Hoops show and what it was, as well as continue to yell about the Utah Jazz, because that that is the best radio.
But that's really what this show was founded on.
Does Obamacare cover hernias? Because I'm not feeling too good right now.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Great start.
Or finish.
I want to ask... Yeah, I want to ask you, Spencer, and you know, you're like I said, the godfather of the Salt City Hoops idea.
Wow,
how this came together, and
I should
what,
have been more respectful. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah,
what you how this came together? What your favorite show was? The experience. I want to ask you more about Salt City Hoops.
That's nice of you. It's been
tell us, old man.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna sit back and tell, gather around, children. Let me tell you a story.
Doing banjos or anything?
No, but you know what? It's been really fun. It's been kind of interesting to think back on how it all kind of came about. Just to go way back, kind of when the blog thing kind of was happening, 2004, 2005, the Phoenix Suns.
Is the blog thing no longer happening?
Well, that was when it was
might
first.
Be worried.
You were first able to kind of self-publish and do some of these things. And the Phoenix Suns were doing their 7 seconds or less, and everything was crazy. And there was a site called Free Darko. That was run by some insane graduate students who were just writing the most esoteric and interesting and intelligent discourse on basketball that I'd ever seen. I felt like I found something that I connected with, that it was finally the kind of intelligent and funny and ridiculous look at basketball that I'd just been wanting to find. And I read it, and I felt like I'd found my community. And I started to contribute a little bit. The Rocky Mountain Review was still going on out here. And I got credentialed, and I wrote a couple things for their site. It got picked up. So their readership wasn't huge, but the people who were reading Free Darko were the people running ESPN.com and running, you know, Sports Illustrated and running Yahoo Sports and some of these places. And so it turned into this community where, like, the comment section, this was before True Hoop became part of ESPN. Henry Abbott at True Hoop would post something, and the comments, if you go back and look at the comment section, you know, 20 comments on a post, it's the guy running, you know, this site, running all the biggest sites right now are all people who were in the one comment thread. It was such a great time, and I don't mean to talk about the good old days, but it was an incredible time of great basketball discourse. And I was lucky to kind of get in on that a little bit. And then when the True Hoop Network at ESPN was created, I was asked by Kevin Arnovitz and Henry Abbott to be the Utah Jazz guy. I had some graphic design and some web design skills and stuff that made me probably more valuable than I was as a writer. I don't think they really cared so much about my writing. But I was able to kind of help the network a little bit behind the scenes and watch it grow. And it's been so fun to see what's happened in sports media. Look at what SB Nation has done. They've created an awesome brand and a great platform. The True Hoop guys, it's been more of a launching pad as people have gone on to different ways. So cool to see what you've done, Andy, with it ever since taking over as the managing editor. For me, the thrill has always been going to things like Summer League in Vegas, going to the Sloan Sports Analytics show or a conference at MIT in Boston, meeting these like-minded people who are crazy about pro basketball. I just sometimes feel like I'm the only one in the world, and then you get into a room full of people who
it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, who also want to talk about, you know, Jose Ortiz's rookie stats or something, and I just love it. So as this is the final show on 1280, I just want to give a big thanks to Scott Girard. He's the one we used to sit together on Press Row, and he's the one who reached out to me in the first place and asked if I'd want to do some radio. And then I've since, you know, gone on to work at KSL, and so I wasn't able to always be on the show. But I really appreciate what Scott has done, and he's always been somebody who's tried to find young talent and give people opportunities. It's been really, really a thrill for me to get to learn from him and some of the other people here at 1280 who've been really good to me, people in the Jazz organization. And I just have to offer a big thanks to them.
Yeah, I kind of think that's what this show has been, is kind of the on-radio equivalent of what happens when you go to the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, is that you are in a room with basketball nerds talking basketball. And that's, I mean, there's nothing more fun than that. And we have a lot of fun doing the show. I hope you guys have a lot of fun listening. It's not like we're dying or anything. You can still listen to our podcast on saltcityhoops.com. But, I mean, it's just been a lot of fun to be able to do.
Yeah, and Salt City Hoops is going places. I want everyone to understand that. Andy's the managing editor. I'm at KSL now. I'm at KSL.com, so I can't have the same kind of hands-on that I used to have. But it's been fun, Andy, to watch you kind of take it. I don't think people understand this, but Andy is actually 8 years old.
Yeah.
He's actually really, really young. And so the fact that he is as intelligent as he is, has the math background, he's also a sports fanatic.
So he's at the age of accountability.
Yeah. I think by the time he gets to age 10, the stuff we're going to be seeing from him is just going to be phenomenal. So
look at these contraction words he's using.
I'm so glad that there are like five people who are
Salt
taking
City is no longer written in crayon. Look at this.
You did ask me one thing, and I want to talk about the favorite show. Kind of the goal when I started the show, I wanted to reach out and kind of have throwback Saturdays. I wanted to reach out to former players, kind of get to know people who are interesting, do where are they now. I don't think I always succeeded with that, but we talked to a few former players. But the conversation we had with Luther Wright was amazing. I don't know those of you who had a chance to listen to that interview. We tracked down the embattled Luther Wright, you know, famously draft pick of the Jazz, who had problems with mental illness and ended up having problems, homelessness and addiction.
Drug use, yeah.
And we caught up with him, and I don't know what I expected when I talked to him. I knew he was a man who made some changes in his life, but he was so sincere and so reflective. And the fact that he gave us more thoughtful, considering everything that he's been through and the criticism he received and the perception as a clown and a failure and all these things, for him to give us the really, I mean, it was emotional. It was really interesting to hear him talk. And I really wish him nothing but the best. And I hope that We're going to track that down and repost it, I think, on Salt City Hoops.
Yeah, we've still got the archived audio. So
I think it's worth listening to again. As we kind of sign this off, the thing that moment is to me this kind of fandom is about. I'm always looking for a little bit of reflection. What does this mean in the bigger picture? All of these players are actually people who are going through a very strange time in their life where they're making a lot of money and people are paying attention to everything they do. And then all of the fans, it's a part of our lifestyle too. And so finding out what this all means and how do we become better people and how do we take a break from the important things and how do they tie in? That interview to me summed up everything that I like about covering sports. And it's also the thing that's a little bit frustrating talking with current players because they're so young and they're so incapable of reflecting at that point in their life. It's almost more fun to talk to them when things have settled down, the lights are gone, and they're able to look back on it.
I think that might be why Richard Jefferson is so much fun to talk to.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he does have that kind of perspective. Austin, do you have a favorite show in your time?
Actually, it's a show I wasn't a part of, which is weird. I can never say the guy's name, the Big Better. The big guy that...
Oh, Haralambos Vulgaris.
Yeah, who's just a fantastic Twitter follower.
That was a cool interview.
And that was a lot of fun to go back on. The Luther Wright, and anytime Frank Layden joined us, was always a ball. So.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, that was great.
I always enjoyed it.
I was going to say my favorite show was, after our 1-14 start, we had a show called The Saddest Fact in All of Jazzland, where we had to find the saddest fact in all of Jazzland. Like, at the time, the offense was the worst offense in history since 1975, and you know the defense was terrible too, and just having I think that was a show I both laughed and cried the most during, so that was my personal favorite.
All right, we're up against it, gentlemen. Well done.
Thanks to everybody who's ever listened to us, and also my apologies to everybody who's ever listened to us.
I apologize for nobody, even though I should. But once again, find us on Twitter. We're not going anywhere. We're just not going to be on the air at 3 o'clock on Saturdays. So Andy B. Larson on Twitter.
Salt City Hoops and Spencer Hall.
If you want,
for my responsible stuff, it's Spencer Hall. For my nonsense, it's Salt City.
McGregor Zone, as always. The Wills of Steel back there. I'm Austin Horton. This has been the Saturday Show. The Salt City Hoops Saturday Show lives on in our hearts all across the land. Go down swinging.